This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
Now, the reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show this morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, looking at weather. Down on the island right now, it's 83 degrees in Galveston. And today they're calling for partly cloudy with a high of 87, southeast winds 10 to 20. And then tonight, few passing clouds, otherwise clear, low of 81, southeast winds 10 to 15. And then tomorrow, few intervals of clouds and sunshine, slight chance of a rain shower. They're putting in about a 20% chance for that with southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We're sitting on a low right now. It occurred after midnight. It was a 1.6. We have a high coming up at 5:15 a.m. It's a 1.7. Then a low at 2:11 p.m. at 0.0. And then a high at 11:15 p.m. tonight. It's a 2.0. 7:08 a.m. at sunrise. 7:15 p.m. sunset. Our moon phase, 81%. Off that last big moon. Looking at current conditions right now. The Galveston North Jetty showing a south-southeast wind at 10. Up at Morgan's Point, it's southeast, kind of east-southeast at 9 up there. Eagle Point, it's southeast at 8. And San Luis Pass, it is southeast at 8. The old rollover site, southeast at 6. So, tad little more wind than yesterday morning starting out, but nothing to ride home about. It's a little bit of a breeze anyway. We'll take it. All right, well, let's get to the phone lines. Let's start off in the Tri-Bay area with the Hammer, Captain Glenn Hammond, see what's up in his area this morning. Glenn, good morning. What's going on over there?
Hey, good morning, Captain Mickey. Not too much. I think we got about 8 to 10 miles an hour out of the east-southeast. It's somewhere around in there, but it's not bad at all. It is blowing this morning, though, so a little bit anyway.
Yeah, but just a slight breeze.
Oh yeah, I remember hunting in South Texas. Boy, you'd be wanting a breeze. We'd be dove hunting down there. We hunted out of Cotulla, and goodness gracious, did we have some great dove hunts down there, buddy? Good Lord, we'd always fill our bag, fill our strap or whatever you call it. But anyway. No, not too much over here, Captain Mickey. I didn't go out yesterday, but, man, I looked over at the boat ramp, and there must have been about, I guess there was about 15 trucks over there at 7 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, they got them an early start. Everybody was trying to get out there and beat the heat, I'm pretty sure. And that's what I've been trying to do, just trying to get out there and, you know, without taking a heat stroke, you know, don't need that, but... It's that time of year to do it, where it can creep up on you. Better drink plenty of fluids when you're out there. Captain Mickey, nobody's calling, so fishing reports are kind of slim. It's funny, I had that trip on Thursday. Well, Friday morning, I get ready to move my F-250, the old truck that I'm, you know, it's a 2008 model. And it was dead to the world. And I went, I started looking around to see if I left anything on. And I didn't leave nothing on. So I put my charger on it, charged it up for a while. And then my battery charger told me that with either the leads were crossed or the battery was bad. So
heat pulls it out of them.
Boy, that heat does. And I took it out and ran it down to where I bought it. And Well, unfortunately, the warranty had wore out. It was only a 2-year warranty.
Naturally, on the battery. They last just long enough for warranties to
That's
be gone.
Right. So,
that's
had
why
to buy
they put that
battery.
3-year, 36-month warranty on there, because they go dead in the 37th month.
That's right. but you're right about that heat. Man, that heat works on them, you know. It just sits out in the sun every day underneath that hood. Lord, those batteries take them. Beaten, but anyway, I got it replaced yesterday, so I'm back on the road. I'll install it today, and I don't have anything going on. I got a trip on Wednesday and Thursday, possibly. I think the wind's going to blow out of the northeast on Thursday, somewhere around 15-20 miles an hour. I don't know if you've seen any of that in the forecast.
It just kind of depends on that tropical weather below us, you know, and that little front line mm-hmm. that's going to come down on Wednesday and. We'll be keeping an eye on the Gulf later on this week.
We boy, oh boy. Man, I was sure hoping all that stuff was far and or gone and over with.
Man,
enough.
We got to November for this. This weather stays enough. Hot like this, it might go to December. Who knows?
Yeah, it might. Well, our tides have pulled back to normal. I mean, they're normal. As far as elevated, you know, they're not bulled up like they were when we started getting that east and northeast wind. But I'll have to keep an eye on that. So in case I have to cancel that trip on Thursday. But anyway, let's see what else is going on, man. Besides the boat ramps being busy, the bait camps are busy. They finally started getting a little bait here and there. Still,
it's, I know it was scarce over here too when it was scarce there. So.
Yeah, it's still iffy. I mean, depends on how early you get there and which bait camp you go to, because not all of them have bait and not all of them have live stuff anyway. But that's the way we've been catching our fish, was either free line and croaker, using a Carolina rig with like a half-ounce egg sinker and a 2-foot leader with a number 3 kale hook. If we go that route, or if we go the popping cork route, we use I use a 20-pound test underneath the popping cork and just a little bitty split shot about 6 inches up above a tiny number 6 treble hook. And I try to lighten the tackle up. I mean, when I'm using live bait, I don't use a bunch of hardware. I try to lighten everything up where the bait can work naturally and act naturally. And we always seem to do pretty good like that. So I'm not changing it one bit. But... let's see, lots of folks in the area. I know that yesterday we had quite a bit of people moving in down here. Everybody's still enjoying the late summer, if you will. I mean, there's no problem with finding some traffic down here. I mean, it's, Lord have mercy, a little bitty old small community, but there's only one way in and one way out, yeah, either San Luis Pass, but... Anyway, the water is absolutely gorgeous everywhere. I know it's going to be a little choppy this morning, but the beachfront has absolutely looked gorgeous from the jetties all the way to San Luis Pass. You couldn't find anything wrong with the surf. I haven't heard any, like I said, in my reports coming in are few and far apart. I don't know why, but usually I've got some buddies that come down and go out and hit that surf. So I hadn't heard anything from them. They might just be keeping it tight-lipped. You know how it is. You tell them, they'll be there. So just watch what you say. And anyway, let's see what else is going on. I'm going to probably try to crank the lawnmower. It's finally got dried up. All the potholes are dried up. And the little ponding and everything that was going on with all the rain and stuff that we've had. We've had 25 or 30 inches in here in the last 4 or 5 months down here. I know we have. I mean, it's just been one heck of a rainy season for us. It's drying out now. Mosquitoes I wish would dry out and go away, but they won't. They're little bitty tiny ones, and we've got a fresh batch of them. Yeah, fresh batch of them. And they come out right around dark. Right around dark. I was finishing up doing some fajitas out there on the pit last night, and right around dark, man, those little boogaroos come out. They're not pleasant, to say the least. They're not pleasant.
Good old coastal living.
So have you had any South Texas dove reports, or how's the dove going?
Yeah, it's going? Good. Everybody's whacking on them. It's excellent.
Nice.
I mean, all through, from Alice all day, all the way down through Laredo and then north of there, up through Blaine's area and Jim Hogg County, everybody's whacking on them.
Oh, man.
A lot of dove.
Oh, man. We used to hunt that prickly pear down there in Cotulla. You'd have to watch it because there's so much cactus and stuff, prickly pear, whatever, everywhere. It just, those doves would fall in that stuff, and you talk about hard to find. But we did it. I don't know. Somehow or another, man, we managed to, we would put a hurting on those things every year. For years and years, yeah. I hunted down there. But anyway, let's see what else is going on. Okay, get back to the bait camps. They're holding finger mullet, mud minnows. Some of them are, and some of them are holding croakers, and some of them are holding shrimp. It just depends on what time you get here. They're not gonna last forever, and they sell out about 10 o'clock, and then they regroup about 2:30 in the afternoon. Sundays are kind of a iffy day to say that, because I don't know if they'll redo it. Some of them use what they had on Saturday. They sell it on Sunday, and then they don't go get any more till Monday or Tuesday. So it just, that's the way it is for live bait. That's why guys like you that throw that soft plastic all the time or artificial all the time, you don't have to worry about that oxygen,
no, I get to sleep in,
air.
Everybody's out 2 hours ahead of me running down bait. I'm still taking a nap.
I know.
Popping out later.
That's all coming for me. I kind of hang up the live bait stuff and put all that stuff back in the corner after about the first 2-3 good cold snaps, and get that water temperature 10 to 15 degrees start dropping, and then you start getting that migration of the white shrimp, and that's always a fun time of year. Follow the shrimp across the bay, watch the birds working. It's just a good, exciting time of year, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, you don't want to work any birds right now. It's a lot of trash under them.
A lot of junk under them, huh?
Yeah, we got to get some fronts and water temperature drop and get all this garbage out of the bays. Get some good clean schools in.
But, man, that southeast wind is just a pleasure, isn't it? Just to have a nice breeze coming off the Gulf that isn't full of humidity. It's just a drier. It's just so much of a drier wind, you know, just coming in from southeast. So much better than having the southwest and the westerly, and we've had it from every direction this year. First at the beginning of the summer,
good year, you know, for not having as many southwest winds as we normally pull. It's definitely
that happened
been different this year, a lot better.
March, April, and May, the kite flying season. And that's when it was a windy and coming out of the south, and our water stayed stained and dirty for months. I mean, it just wouldn't. It took it forever to clean up. And now with a couple of weeks of southeast wind, it's like a different ocean. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous, green, pretty close to the beach too. So probably got a little white capping coming in this morning with a little breeze that we got, but. I know my next door neighbor, Captain Brandon. He's going out today, and he's got a crew. He's got about four guys that he's taking out. So I'll have some kind of report from him this afternoon, and hopefully they do good, and hopefully everybody else does good if they get out there. But San Luis Pass, there was a notice that I think next Saturday they're going to have that ramp closed. They're still trying to fix the bulkhead and the dock there at the pass, so they'll be working on it next weekend. Just wanted to throw that out there in case somebody, you know, is going to try. And I'll get the date. I hope I'm not wrong on that date, but I believe it's next Saturday that they're going to have it closed. So
good deal, Glenn. Well, give a number. Somebody wants to give you a call.
Sure, man. They can always reach me at 713-208-0683. I wish everybody a happy, fun Sunday, and go Texans, go.
Yes,
hopefully
sir.
They do something today.
All right, buddy. See you, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Captain Mickey. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, you need them really fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. With a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery, there's no need to wait. You know, wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on deliveries, their sales team has over 100 years of combined experience, and they're here to support you from start to finish, whether it's a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Allied's got you covered. And remember, the first three letters of Allied are all.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And that's exactly what we do. Call Allied Industrial Sales. Let us handle it all. 281-332-6224 or sales@alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224 or email us at sales@alliedinc.com. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. It's 419 here in the Bayou City. All right. Let's run up to Lake Conroe. Let's strike up a conversation with a fish dude this morning. Richard, good morning. How are you, bud?
You know I'm good, Mickey. How about yourself?
Oh, that's good, man. It's all good.
Good deal. Them catfish did all right yesterday. They didn't do too bad.
Yeah, I saw where you caught them up pretty good, man.
Yeah, we had still got a bunch of them little knotheads out there, but that's all right. Them rascals are still fun to catch, but we ended up keeping 68 of them, so it wasn't too shabby, and then probably had another 40 or so that were smaller ones, so They did all right. Well, I can't complain. There ain't no doubt. But then that dang wind just quit on us, and it got hot. I mean, good night. That thing, and I knew it yesterday morning, that when that wind doesn't start out doing anything, it gets pretty bad pretty quick. So we gave them the blues, though. There ain't no doubt about that. So that's a good thing. And it's, you know, then didn't try nothing else. I wasn't going to try a whole bunch of nothing with no wind, and the water temperature's back up good night. They got, I think, when we got off the water, they were up to 87 again, so it's headed back up the wrong direction, which ain't no fun. I mean, that's when it gets warm like that, everything just tends to want to shut down on you. You know, and I know we talked about that a little bit yesterday, but it's crazy. And then, you know, just a reminder, hopefully everybody's got their license renewed by now, so. You know, some people may not have. I just want to kind of throw it out there because a couple weeks ago I had a fellow on the boat, and he thought he'd renewed his, but he didn't. And so he got kind of stuck with a little fine there. So, and that's, yeah. You know, that's the thing about, you know, and he didn't do it intentional, so that was a good thing. You know, he'd had it. It just expired on him, you know, and that's what they do this time of year, because it's one of those deals where, you know, they're going to check every year, especially in September, because people tend to forget at the end of August that it's time to renew. Now, with that said, you have people that they get the year-to-date licenses, which I just can't do it. I like that annual reminder, you know. I'm used mm-hmm. so used to that August, September 1, August 31 deal that if I don't think about that, then I'll just forget, you know. So that's why I do it.
Well,
anyway,
thing, you know, when you buy your super combo and all that online, you get a reminder yep. every year ahead of that, and you just
there you go.
Get an email from them. You just go in there and renew it. Bingo, boom, you're done.
That, you know, and that's the way. Like I tell everybody, I got fishing licenses and fishing and hunting in Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas.
Right.
So, I mean, I fish and hunt all over the place. And the only one I don't have anymore is like when I used to go to Texoma. You got to have a Texoma license also. So, and that's like
what
over.
That about?
Well, it's a deal where Texas, Oklahoma, you have to. It's a special license
oh,
for Texas.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I think it's part of the Native American stuff. You know, it's I'm not sure how it's set up, but it's like $10 or something. It's not nothing real drastic or anything like that. And that's like whenever you go to Amstead. You got, or even Falcon, you have to have the, if you're going to go on the Mexican side, you have to have a license to fish over there too. And I think it's like $60. So, you know, it's one of those
money
deals
for that Mexico or
that,
or
I think so. I think it's Mexico that gets that license, but you buy the license in Texas. So
yeah. And
what's fun.
And our government deters you, says, you know, you might not want to venture over into those waters for safety purposes.
Right, right.
But here, you know, that's $60, so you can go over there and get whatever's going to happen
right.
to you. I'll just leave it at that.
That's exactly right. But, you know, the thing is, I go over there. I mean, there's
Mexican game wardens that'll check you over there?
Yes, they do. And what's funny is they run their own private boats, you know, so they're not marked up like they are in Texas, where you've got, you know,
they had game wardens of the cartel did the checking for them.
There you go.
Over there.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got kind of a story over there. I was fishing over there practicing for one of those Bud Light Platinum tournaments that they had out of there. And, I think it was on Amstead, and I was fishing on the Mexican side. And there was a fish camp. They got these fish camps all along over there. They're more smuggling than anything. But
that
there's
and netter camps because they net the heck out of that lake, man.
They do. Those gill nets are everywhere. But they I was sitting in there fishing, and I had another little radio show I was doing like on Thursdays out on Conroe there for a while, and not on Conroe, but you know, it's a radio station out of Conroe, and I got talking to them. On, like I say, it's Thursdays. I did like a little 30-second slot, and so I was doing that little show, and I was in a cove on the Mexican side, and you know, it's a bunch of canyons and stuff. So I was in this cove, and it was come pulling out, and this guy I was practicing with, I come idling out of that cove. I said, man, we need to go back in this creek right here, because. You know, we hadn't checked it yet. He goes, no, we need to leave. I said, no, come on, dude. We need to go back here. No, we need to leave. Well, I look up, and coming over this hill is a truckload of Federales. And they're all back of the truck with their AKs or ARs, whatever they shoot over there.
Yeah,
and
ARs.
Yeah, and they're in the back of this pickup. You know, there's like 10 of them in the back bed of this truck coming over this hill, coming down to this fish camp. And there's four or five boats in this cove, and boy, everybody saw them at the same time, and everybody goes running out of that creek. Yeah, everybody. I mean, it was a mass exodus.
Had a shotgun start out of there.
I guarantee you it was. Everybody was gone, and I mean, I don't blame them, man. I did the same thing because I was sitting there wanting to keep fishing. When I saw that, I said, "Oh no, I can't compete with that. I got a fishing rod." So it's one of them things where. You know when you got to go, and that was it. We had to get, so we got out of there pretty dang quick. But it's, you know, and what's funny is, you know, you talk about those gill nets. I'd found these places that I call them magic trees, because you could pull up to if you found one of them, you'd know what I was talking about, because you pull up there and every cast you'd make at that tree, you'd catch a fish, every single cast. And it was amazing. And there was I found one of these magic trees right there in front of that fish camp. You know, I say in front of it, it was a good half mile, but you could see that camp. And I was throwing a little square bell crankbait along the edge of it. And boy, I mean, I was catching some good 3-4 pound fish every single cast. And it's like, good night. I've marked it on my GPS. I said, tournament day, I'm coming back to this one. I got to come back and check it. And, tournament day, I pull up there and I'm throwing. I'm not getting any bites. I'm going, what in the world's going on here? Finally, I got a bite and I jerked on it and it kind of jerked back and I jerked real hard and it come on in and I got it. I got it in the boat and it was a fish that he was stuck in a gill net and bit my crankbait because he had that gill net around his head and I'd broke the net strings and you could see it sticking out all four corners of his head where that net was wrapped around his neck. And I'm like, good night. Somebody done wrapped a net around this tree. So it's, it is what it is. You just, but they're everywhere. They can do it on that side. And that's what amazes me about it. Cause they've got those nets everywhere and those fish are still in there like that. So, I mean, it amazes me that how resilient they are, how they can survive in there with all that netting pressure in that lake, because they're everywhere. You get them wrapped up in your prop, you get them, I mean, they're all over the place in Amstead and Falcon, you know, on the Mexican side. But when you get on the Texas side, they're not supposed to be, but they are, you know, it's a constant deal where they have to go in and cut them out and stuff like that. But it's amazing to see them because you know they're there, they're marked, and it's, for the most part, they're marked anyway, but you know, and they use like little 8 pound, 6-8 pound test line on those nets, and that holds all kinds of fish. I mean, it's amazing how that holds.
At the end, it'll reach out and grab them, man.
It does too, and they can't see it. They get their head off in there, and they can't back out.
It just cuts into them. They're not getting out of that.
No, they ain't getting out. You know, my thing is if you're going to run a net like that, you got to, in my opinion, you got to check that thing every couple of hours because every fish that goes in, it's going to die. And you get them in there, especially in that warmer water down there, they're going to spoil pretty quick. So, I mean, you're going to have an unedible fish, in my opinion. But, you know, that's everybody to their own, you know, because that's another thing. You know, fish care, especially in this heat, you know, when I'm hybrid fishing in this heat and stuff, one of the main things I do is I carry me a cooler full of ice because they automatically go in that ice. The hybrids do. Now, catfish I tend to keep alive. I can't stand cleaning a dead catfish. I mean, that's one of those things that just amazes me, but I can keep them in my live well when my pump's running, and they do great. But a hybrid in the warm water, you throw them in that live well and let that surface water recirculate in there, he does not make it, you know, because they're down there typically in that deeper water where it's a little bit cooler, and you put them in that surface water, which is probably a good 8 to 10 degrees warmer, it just shocks them and it kills them. So, and one of the main things is, and it says it in the rule book, the wanton waste law, you know, you got to fish care when you come to take them home, you know, you got to pay attention to them because they can write you a ticket for that too. If you get them in that live well, you get them in that live well and let them die, and when their gills turn almost white, that fish is ruined. You can't. I mean, that's no good. You can't use.
Decomposition's already setting in. And, all right, Richard, let me do this break right quick, and I'll come back to you, and we'll continue on. Hang on, buddy.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everyone about the Belleville Meat Market. You know, bow season's just around the corner, and deer season's right behind that. No better place to have all your processing done than the Belleville Meat Market. I've been using them for years. Nobody does it better. And they're an excellent meat market also. Check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. They have bulk pricing available on all their fresh ground beef and pecan smoked sausage. And homemade hamburger patties and hot dogs are available for all of your cookout needs. And if you're looking to have a quarter or a half calf processed, That's available for pre-order also in custom processing. And their wild game processing facility, it's open year-round. So anything you have now or in the future, take it by the Belleville Meat Market Processing Center. Ask for Brandon. He'll hook you up. They take really good care of you. They're celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:36 here in the Bayou City on this Sunday morning. All right, Richard, we're back.
All right, Mickey. That's one thing I want to go and finish up with that fish care stuff, because like with the hybrids, for example, whenever I've even got a cooler full, and we're catching a bunch of them, you know, say I got 15 or 20 of them in a cooler, I actually pull them out and I'll rotate them top to bottom that way. That way that ice kind of gets to all of them, because they'll still start spoiling inside of a cooler if you don't rotate them out like that. So, but it's, yeah, you know, it's one of the things you want to take care of them. They're hard enough to catch. You might as well take care of what you got, especially, you know, if you're taking them home to eat. You know, that's one of the things. And if not, if you're taking them to donate to somebody, you know, like a lot of times what I do with a lot of fish that I have that, you know, say someone doesn't want them on trips, I donate them to, you know, some elderly people and stuff like that don't get the opportunity to go out and fish and stuff like that. So I've done that, you know, especially years ago when I bow fished a lot, I'd take around, go just ride around to different parts of town. And I knew where some of these elderly people were that might want them. And I'd say, hey, here, this is what I got. You want any of them? Sure. Take every one of them. I'll take a few of them and take this, take that. You know, that's fine. That way they get the opportunity too. Cause they, you know, like I say, a lot of times some of these people don't get the chance to get out, and they, you know, they enjoy eating fish too. So it's, I try to take care of everybody as much as I can, whenever I can, you know, that's the main thing. I don't get many opportunities to bring fish home, but when I do, it's, that's typically what I try to do with a lot of it, you know, cause everybody wants to take them with them. And that's, you know, that's fine too. You know, it's like yesterday with those G8 catfish. I mean, that was a good three and a half gallons of fillet. So that's a lot of dang fish, you know. And that's, you know, that's what some of these people do with them. They'll give them to some of their family members and stuff like that, or neighbors and so on. And I don't mind doing it with like catfish, because there's so dang many of them out there. But, you know, that's like, I want to get on the crappie kick right quick. I've got people asking me about crappie fishing.
Before you go to that, I just got a text for you. A listener wanted to know, what is an accurate assessment of the catfish limit on Conroe, the length and amount?
There's really no length limit. I mean, you can keep 5 over 20, 1 over 30, and then everything else is fair game. There's, you know, they changed that law, what, 3 years ago. And, they said it's more family friendly, to make it more family friendly, so they didn't write tickets to the families that are out catfishing and stuff like that. But with every lake, you got to pay attention to every limit, because like Livingston, I think it's,
10 over. Sure, that's why he's asking that. So no minimum size length, but only
no, it's just
5 over 20 and 1 over 25.
1 over 30.
Or one, yeah, one 30, over 30, and then an aggregate limit of 25.
25, correct.
Yeah.
So, and then not like Livingston, you know, you got 50 total. You can catch 10 over, I think it's 10 over 30. You know, I hadn't really kept up with their minimum length as far as the 30 and the 20, because that's the only two numbers you got to worry about, over 20 inches and then over 30 inches. And then, like I say, each lake is different. They've got, you know, because I can't remember which one it was. I thought it was kind of strange, but it was like, you know, one of them is similar to Conroe, 1 over 30 and then 5 over 20. And it's, you know, they're trying to keep those bigger fish getting bigger and take out those 20 inch fish or under 20 inch fish. Now, those under 20 inchers, just to let people know, when it comes to a 20 inch fish, that's a big fish. I mean, you don't run across those 20 inch catfish that often, you know, as far as, me going out and on a daily basis catching, say, 10 or 15 over 20 inches, it doesn't happen. I'll catch them 18, 19. I'll catch them 17. And then a lot of times, you know, it's all going to be in the 15 to 17 range. But the 20-inch fish, they're kind of elusive. I mean, you don't run across them a lot. Then all of a sudden you get up into those 30-inch range, then you get you'll catch one or two here and there that are over, but you very rarely you catch those 20 inches, and that's amazing to me. You know, now granted they're out there, but it's that's a 20 inch fish. He's going to be, say, a 20 inch blue cat. He's going to be a 10-11 pound fish. So they're mm-hmm. pretty significant in size whenever you do see them. But you know, that's the thing. And like I was saying, I got a bunch of people asking me about crappie here lately, and I turned the trip away the other day because I told him, I said, you know, you need to go to someplace like Sam Rayburn. Conroe just does not have the crappie in it. I mean, it's COVID got them. Conroe, the population is not there. It's not recovered from COVID yet. So, and once, you know, and like I said, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm still talking to them about it. I'm trying to get Parks and Wildlife to close the season on them between January 1 and April 1. If they'll do that for 5 years, the crappie population in Conroe will come back in full force. But with that said, they don't pay much attention to crappie because they don't do any stocking of crappie in any lakes. So that's one thing that they just don't do. So as far as paying attention to any limits of them, I don't know if I'll ever get their attention on it or not. But I keep talking with them. I keep emailing them. I keep doing whatever I can do to get them to where they'll shut that season down. And the reason being is from January 1 to April 1 is the significant part of the spawn for crappie on Lake Conroe.
Right.
And if they'll just shut it down and let that population rebuild, you know, we'll have crappie again, but right now it is just horrible. I mean, it's.
Well, you think they bounce back a little bit as, you know, as good as they multiply, but I guess your numbers down to the point, well, there's not that much multiplying going on.
That's pretty much it. Well, you know, you think during COVID, everybody could go fishing. That's it. Couldn't go in the office. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that, but they could go fishing.
Right.
And then, you add on top of it, everybody was going crappie fishing because it was prime spawning time. Every right. one of those crappie were up in the shallow water. And so you pulled out all the females. I mean, you'd say, I'm going to say probably 80% of the female population of crappie were pulled out of Lake Conroe. So you
Isn't
left
crazy?
Very,
well,
I
you
know,
couldn't even buy a bag of minnows anywhere in the state of Texas.
I mean, I do remember that, but it wasn't only Texas. I mean, most of the
Oklahoma too.
Exactly, but most of the minnows come out of Arkansas. That's what's crazy. Yeah. That's where they come from. So all over the nation, pretty much, there was a shortage of minnows. I mean, that was crazy. But you know, and that's what people tend to forget about. You know that hey, this all happened at the wrong time for Lake Conroe because you think about. You think Lake Conroe's big. Lake Conroe is not a big lake. You know, you're talking 28,000 acres. It's an overgrown pond. And that's, you know, Rayburn, 168,000. That's a big lake, you know. Toledo Bend, 197,000 acres. That's a big lake. Conroe, 28,000, that's right. Nothing. Yeah. I mean, it's just, if you had a bigger lake with less population around it like Rayburn and Toledo had, then you're fine. Those fish are resilient. They'll come back because you've got so many different places where they can go. But Conroe, you know, very limited hiding areas with a mass population of Houston coming that way. You know, and I tell people all the time, Mother's Day weekend during COVID, there was a 2-hour wait at Stowaway Marina to get in the water. Most other marinas shut their parking lots down. Said no more. We can't take any more boats. And Stowaway has 75 parking spots for boat trailers. And that, those 75, you had to wait for 2 hours for one of them to open up. You were waiting on the side of the road, and there was a mile-long parade of boats and trailers down Calvary Road just to get in the water, you know. And you were waiting on somebody to leave. That's what you were doing. That's, and you did that all day long. So that, if that gives you any idea how bad that lake got beat up, you know, during that time, it's amazing. You know, I mean, it's, I would have never thought that something like that could have happened to a lake, but it did, you know. And there's, you know, there's nothing we can do unless we allow that population of fish to recover. And it, people just aren't going to do it. You know, there's everybody, I get calls every year, are the crappie in the shallows? If they are, I'm not taking you. I mean, I'm just not going to do it. I mean, I because back in the 80s and 90s, we used to catch them by the hundreds. I mean, we'd do 100 in the morning. We'd do 100 in the afternoon. Between me, Butch Turpie, and Debbie Watson years ago, we would come in every day. Just between us three guides, we would have no less than 500 crappie a day. And we would do that for 100 days straight. And we didn't care if they were spawning or not. We didn't think about it. You know, we just went out there and caught them because they were biting. And then all of a sudden, about 2000, 2001, we started running out of crappie. And I'm scratching my head going, what in the heck is going on with these crappie? Well, we're catching them all. We're catching them all during the spawn. We're not allowing them to recover. Now, granted, that was just us three. I know Tex, Billy, JC, Wayne Whitehead. I know all those other guys were doing exactly the same things. And so, you know, we were all, as guys, guilty for pulling them out at the wrong time of the year. So we ran out of crappie there for a little while. Now, they recovered, but it took a while, but it took like 10 years for them to get back to where I was comfortable catching them again. But when they did recover, I got back into it and started catching them some more. But the thing is, I always told people, says, I'm not going to take you during the spawn. I'll take you starting April 1, and we'll go all the way till they decide to quit. And typically they quit after Memorial Day every year, about, you know, first part of June, they start slowing down. So April, May, and June are typically the best months for crappie. And then you got November, December, where you get right before they start building up for the spawn, you can catch them again. But the water temperature's got to drop. There's all kinds of factors in November and December that have to happen in order for them to start biting right. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, right now it's so disheartening to have people wanting to go catch these fish, and I know they're not there. You know, now I know there's other guys that'll lie to them and tell them, oh yeah, well, I'll take you out and we'll catch them, and they go out there and they won't catch nothing. They'll be mad at them. I'm not going to do that. I'm not that guy. You know, I'm the one that's going to tell you need to go to a different lake. I'm not going to tell you, oh yeah, we'll go out there and we're going to whack them. No, that's a bunch of baloney. You're not going to do it. It's not anybody that says they come up with a limit, a two-person limit of crappie out of Conroe right now, they're telling you a story, because it's just not going to happen, you know. And it's that if you catch 20, you're good. You know, catch 30, you're great. You know, that's, so it's it's just one of those things where I would rather send you to someone else that's, that way you have a good time, than me sit here and tell you something that's not true. It's just not going to happen. It's not me. I can't make myself.
Well, you know, you got that small of a lake sitting on a big metroplex like Houston, you know, millions of people around here, and it just can't take the pressure. You know, that's why I'm surprised Galveston Bay has held up as well as it has over the years. You know,
I agree with you. I mean, there's a
but Galveston Bay, you know, we got over 600 square miles of water.
Right.
It can, you know, that pressure like that.
It can, you know, and plus you got fish that constantly move in and out. But, you know, there's still a lot of dang
lake
pressure.
Fishing's different. Those fish don't come from anywhere but within itself, you know.
That's it. It's on parameters.
There's no migration into that lake.
No, sir. No, sir. Not at all. But, you know, the one that really amazes me out of all of them is Rayburn, though. As much fishing pressure as Sam Rayburn gets, those fish are there. I mean, there's just, they're all over the place, especially the largemouth bass.
Now, so huge, just like Toledo Bend. I mean, it's, those lakes can take a lot of pressure.
They really can. But I mean, it just, those dang, you know, they got bass tournament over there every single weekend. Now, granted, everybody can't just release them, but they still, every single weekend, they're getting that pressure. So it's just, it's just something different, you know. Just, you start thinking about these different lakes and their proximity to big populations of people and the size of the lake itself. Now, if Rayburn was closer to Houston, it might be affected a lot more.
That might be a little different story we're talking about. You're exactly right. Exactly,
you know, because it's but it's not. So that's one thing that kind of keeps it percolating, you know, doing its thing. But like I say, Conroe is just so close. And, you know, Lake Houston, I've never been on Lake Houston, so I couldn't tell you anything about it. But, you know, I'm really surprised there's any fish at all in it because, I mean, you're right there. It's right in the mix of everything. So, I mean, it's you know, as far as any kind of fish, crappie, catfish, white bass, anything, I don't know what's in there. So it's one of those things where Lake Houston is already handicapped to start off because you got the big population right around it and everybody's accessible. It's within minutes from millions.
I think the water clarity is what saves a lot of their fish because it's a, you know, basically
off color.
Yeah, it's well off colored most of the time. And
well, it's like Livingston, the Trinity River. You know, most, you know, when I was growing up over there, you know, I was always wondered there's a lot of fish in this lake. Why don't people want to live around it? And that's the biggest part of it. It stays muddy year round, you know. And that's,
yeah, you got the mighty Trinity running through it, you know, 24/7.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's a huge watershed. That Trinity River watershed's unbelievable.
It is. It really is. And then, you know, growing up, we always called it the Big Muddy anyway. So that's, you know,
it holds a lot of fish, though. Catfish, crappie. You know, it's got a lot of bass in it. I remember, remember when they first opened that lake. Remember the jungle? I mean,
people were fishing that,
catching, you know, 5-pound averages every day. You know, it's just crazy.
That was an amazing area, I promise you. Now the jungle's all silt.
Yeah.
It's all silt and all the trees are knocked down, all that good stuff.
Every bit of bottom washed off into the Trinity River from Dallas down. I mean, it collects all that. Plus,
sir.
I get it on my end.
I know it. I mean, it's amazing to see how it works. But, you know, that's another thing, talking about, like, the Trinity River versus Conroe, like white bass. Everybody wants to catch white bass out of Conroe. Well, you got that Trinity River, Lake Livingston, is full of white bass. I mean, there's millions and millions of them. And people wonder, well, why aren't they in Conroe? Well, those white bass are just like salmon. They have to have that current in order to spawn. So they have to run up a river or creek or something that's running in order to spawn. They do, you know, like I say, they just like salmon. They have to have that current. And Conroe, the only current you have is wind-generated current. So it's not like, you know, it's a constant thing where you, like the Trinity River and all the little finger creeks that come into it that throughout the 150-mile watershed, there's just no current there. But Conroe, when the wind blows, it'll get a little bit of current on some of the points, and that's about it. But because, you know, you got basically 30-40 mile San Jacinto watershed north of Lake Conroe, and that's it, you know. So it's different, you know. River fish, you know, for example, Conroe's full of channel cats, got some blue cats in it. Livingston is full of blue cats and some channel cats in it. Blue cats like that river system, that running water.
Mm-hmm.
Channel cats like that lake water, you know. So that's a big difference. So, and then the yellow cats, you know, or ops or whatever you want to call them. I mean, you got a few of them in Conroe, you got a lot of them in Livingston. So it's the same thing. It's all current generated and stuff like that creates these different type fish.
Oh, my father-in-law used to catch them big ops out of Trinity River, man.
Buddy,
I'm talking
big old headed rascals. They are too.
Had a head on them like a house cat.
I guarantee you looked like he popped them in the head with a shovel.
Exactly.
Oh, good. All right, brother.
Well, rascals. Richard, I enjoyed the conversation with you this morning. Good. You hit on some good stuff for everybody.
All right.
If somebody wants to call you about coming up and fishing with you and making a day, how do they get a hold of you, bud?
All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Well, Richard, have a good Sunday. Enjoyed talking to you. I'll talk to you next week, man. You have a good one.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
All right, buddy. See you, man.
All right.
Later. All right, that's the Fish Dude up on Lake Conroe. Time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.